Hi, and welcome to More Than Friends, a podcast about the lives of women who love other women. I'm Diane, your host, and in the first part of this episode, I'll be chatting with Chiara and Emma about how theatre brought them together, the power of storytelling, and their upcoming show, Teatro Tal Miskin. Chiara and Emma met while working on a theatre production and have been together for the past 7 years. Chiara is a director, actress, playwright, and full-time drama teacher, while Emma works in the private sector but also teaches drama part-time and works behind the scenes on local productions. Hope you enjoy the episode. Hi, Chiara. Hi, Emma. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Amazing. I would love for you guys to tell our audience how you met, because you have a very particular story in a very particular setting.
So we met through theatre. I was taking part in a panto and she was taking part in the same one. And it was actually one of those pantos I wasn't sure whether I was enjoying yet. You know how it is? I didn't know many people in it.
Which is rare.
Which is rare, because normally in theatre, by that point I had made obviously many friends, but in this particular show, if I remember correctly, I didn't have many of my usual clique on, let's just say, in it. And I remember there was one rehearsal and I was sitting down at the very beginning with a friend of mine, the one friend I had.
The one friend.
And I had no idea who she was, and she walked past and I said to him, "Who's that?" And he's like, "Oh, that's Emma." I was like, "She's gay." He's like, "No, she's very straight. She's been in a relationship, you know, for like so many years." I was like, "Oh, okay, sorry." He's like, "Why would you say that?" I was like, "No, I was just wondering. I just got a vibe," which is normally, my vibes are always quite correct, in fact.
Your gaydar started pinging.
In fact, that's it. And then as rehearsals went on, I actually got to know Nicola, her friend. And I had really bonded with Nicola, but I just couldn't stand Emma. I just thought she was...
The feeling was mutual.
The feeling was very, very mutual.
Like, I actually told my friends, because they were obsessed with her, they just found her hilarious. And I don't know, I have this thing when everyone likes something, I must like dislike it. And I was like, "Oh my God, you should all just start a Chiara Hisler fan club. All you do is laugh at her jokes." So I just sit alone in a corner watching my friends laugh at Chiara and not want to participate.
And the more she did that, I was like, "What is wrong with your friend? Like, these are some of my best jokes. Like, why is she not up here, like, laughing with us?" And I was like, "Mosh." And I mean, she'd be like on her phone. She'd like stumbled through a rehearsal late, and I'd be like, "Oh my God, this is mad. Like, who is this creature?" You know? And then there was like one evening where we went for drinks, you know, as the whole cast, and we started talking. So we connected on the fact that we felt there were two of our friends in the cast who should get together.
Okay.
And I think we just messaged at that point and we said, "We have to make this happen." "Yes, agreed," kind of thing. And then sort of that became something to connect on. Until then, there was just like one evening when we had spoken and stuff, and I had told her stuff of my life and my backstory, because I do that really easily. And she was quite closed, but I got a feeling that she was basically trying to say that she's felt certain feelings for women in the past, say, or whatever, and wasn't sure about them and if it was anything at all, etc., etc.
So this was one of those late night,
yes,
conversations,
drinking vodka from a mug. Yeah. So after that night of that long chat, and some, I said, "Okay, we're friends," and I said, "I'm going to be that friend to her, that if she ever down the line comes to terms with it, I would like her to know that she has a friend." And in fact, that evening I had said to her, I was like, "I look forward to you spreading your wings," or something poetic like that, that vodka had really gotten to me. And the next morning at rehearsals, it was performances, she walked right past me.
Emma.
And I was like, I went to Nicola, I was like, "What is wrong with this girl?" I was like, "And now we're supposed to be friends." Like, she was like really chatting Nick yesterday, and I was like, "Now she's just not like, even like, hi, good morning, sorry, I'm feeling really tired, I don't feel like chatting," nothing, just walked past.
Complete blank.
Yeah. I can't explain why, or I don't know.
It was the gay panic, Emma.
Yes,
it was the gay panic.
I don't know. But yeah. And then eventually...
We became friends and stuff. And the other two friends did get together in the end, so mission was accomplished there. But we had kind of... Then we had let things slide and stuff, you know, and then obviously things rekindled later on. But that is pretty much our story.
Wow. And that's really interesting, because theatre has that whole gay history, not gay history, but...
It encourages, it brings it out.
Yes, uh-huh.
I mean, productions, and we say this a lot, they throw you into this bubble where obviously for like a month or two, like you're completely immersed in the production you're in. And the outside world is like forgotten completely. I mean, you know, it's hard to meet up with your other friends. It's hard to hang out with your family. So you're literally with the cast day and night rehearsing shows, especially Panto, which is in Malta, what would be the longest running show, you know, with 10 performances or 14 performances, how many? And so it's really easy to just forget everything and suddenly make new friends, and the friendships become really intense really quickly, you know? I mean, most of my best friends are theatre people, you know, who I've met through productions. Because once you click, it's really hard then to not, you know, get along and spend a lot of time together, especially while the production's still on, you know? So I think kind of that's what happened, and we have a whole group which is still together to this day from that panto, which is quite amazing, you know. So every production you leave with a new group of friends, it just happens, and it's quite amazing though. I mean,
this sense of community that you get from the productions, do you feel like it's a safe space for you? Because when I said earlier, you know, like there's this gay backstory to theatre, it's just that it's usually a very open space where with certain productions, you know, the composer and the lyricists will be gay, or the director will be gay, or the people starring in it. So this is what I'm saying on a bigger level in terms of like Broadway. But locally, there's also that. I think there is that community where people can be themselves.
Absolutely. And I think I believe everybody needs an outlet in their life, whether it's, I don't know, gym and stuff, but just like something that's defines you. And theatre became that for me. I very much felt like as soon as I stepped in the room for my very first audition, which of course I did it terribly, but somehow just got into chorus, I felt immediately at home. Like there's no judgment. Everything goes. And even characters, they just... Oh, it's just like that. Everyone just gets along, you know? In a minute, you're having to do a dance, so you're snapping out of things, you're bonding very quickly, and so it's definitely a very, very safe space. And the friendships that form, the bonds that form, are different because you're living with each other for 3 months. Mm-hmm. You're going through the ups and downs of a production, the insecurities and the praise at the same time, and the you know, learning things and forgetting things and the pressure, and then you're in the dressing rooms. It's all of this community. So it is. I find it's absolutely a safe space, and it brings out a... I'm really rambling. You're like very quiet here in the corner.
Just listening to your voice.
Thank you so much. Thanks, Lisa. It's just so sweet. I think it really sort of encourages everybody to just be themselves and stuff, you know. So.
No, I mean, in my case, I think I'm quite sure actually, if it wasn't for my theatre world and my theatre friends, I don't think I would be out, or maybe I would have, but much later on, you know, not at the age of 22. And I found it pretty easy, personally, I think, because of the people that surrounded me in theatre. It's just, I mean, I think there's multiple reasons why that's the case. I think it's because there's a high concentration of queer people in every show you work in. You know, that's always there. So you do feel like you can be yourself around them, you know? I mean, not that I can't around my friends, and the friends I grew up with are all super great and never had any issues either. But it was just that suddenly that side of myself became a possibility, you know? Suddenly when I'm seeing people like just being themselves and being with who they want to be, suddenly I said, okay, so maybe that is possible for me, as opposed to the other side of my life where, you know, everyone was very much set on, you know, they were all straight couples heading into like marriage and, you know, all of these things. So suddenly I felt like that was a possibility for me. And it's definitely because of the queer people that surround me in my theater life. So I'm very sure that they are who encouraged me to come out as, I mean, not early. I don't think 22 is super early, especially nowadays. But I found it very easy, that's all. So for me, it was definitely helpful that I had these people around me.
Emma, that's really interesting how you were able to come out in this safe space at the age of 22, which I agree with you. It's not necessarily late. It's not necessarily early. But there is a little bit of an age gap between you guys. So, Chiara, what was your experience? And I believe you wrote a monologue about this in a play called Hersey.
Yes, I wrote that monologue very much based on my coming out story, because I felt like that side, that perspective hadn't been shared locally, I think, or maybe if it has, I certainly haven't seen anything, but I often feel like the male perspective of coming out and the struggles that the community have gone through is shared. It's never shared enough, but it's shared. We've heard it. I didn't feel like we had a female perspective, a coming out story from a female perspective, but that didn't go too terribly. I think you'd expect to hear the massive struggles or massive whatever. But although there were struggles, and perhaps I wasn't even aware of the fact that I had struggles, it wasn't an absolutely terrible process, you know? So my process was very much like I had feelings for women and I wasn't sure if they were anything actual. So when I felt ready, I kissed a girl in a club and I knew. And I said, the feeling I just had is not a feeling I've had with the guys. Why? You know what I mean? So then I said, okay, I need to just see what this is, you know? And I just believe that everything has its time. Mm-hmm. And then because I sort of opened my mind to that possibility, I met my first girlfriend. And again, through theater, of course. And immediately I was so comfortable. I didn't feel like I was a different person or anything of the sort. I just felt like I was better, like, and I was 150% myself. That took its time for me to find the language of communicating it to people. I had trouble saying like, oh, I need to talk to you about something, and because I didn't know what I was. Mm-hmm. It's easier to say, oh, I'm gay, but I didn't feel I was. I don't quite like putting myself in a box and saying I'm either A, B, or C. Like, I just... So anyway, so that was that. And then I had another relationship, and then pretty much Emma. But Emma was the only relationship that I was in where I was completely 150% open and where I could talk openly about it to people, you know what I mean? Where I was like, and they would ask me, so how's Emma? How, you know? And I'd be like, oh my God. And I remember getting a wedding invitation to Kiara and Emma. And I was like, what? Because although I wasn't, everybody knew that Kiara was gay or Kiara was in a relationship with women, sort of like my friends wouldn't ask terribly much about it. You know what I mean? I don't think they knew. You know, in fact, after watching Dust, some of them said to me, they said, should we have asked you more questions? Should we have asked you how you're feeling? Should we have, like, they were feeling a sense of guilt. And I said, there's nothing to feel guilty about because I don't know if I was able to talk about it comfortably yet, you know what I mean? And I was with Emma at the age of 28 or something, 28?
Yes. You were 28.
I was 28.
Yes.
You're listening when I speak.
Yes, but you said you were with Emma till the age of 28, so that's
no, I was
me.
With... No.
Because you're now not, no longer
you, I'm not 28. 28. I'm more than that. Thank you, Sita, for clarifying my age. Anyway, and I was just in absolute awe at how quickly she, because I took ages to tell my father, for example, my mother always knew, but her mother always does, but how quickly she told her parents, how quickly she told her friends. Within a week, she had just told everybody how she was feeling. You know, we weren't even necessarily together, but she was already what we would consider out.
Wow.
And I was like, kids these days.
What do you think, Emma? Do you think that was actually... Is that just your personality? That's just your character, that you're very upfront? Or do you think that growing up in the age that you did and it happening when it did?
Yes, I mean, I think, as a person, I don't really know how to keep things from people. So I will say how I'm feeling pretty quickly. I'm close to my parents and Kiara was hanging out with me a lot and I felt silly telling them that she was just a friend. So that probably is what pushed me to do it so quickly because I don't really know how to keep things from my parents. My friends as well. I mean, I was coming out of a long relationship. So there was that as well. I just felt the need to tell my friends that I'm potentially starting another. And, you know, I just felt the need to explain to people, which is silly when you think about it, but I just wanted to tell them straight away and not let people just make up their own assumptions about my situation. My close friends, this is, of course, I didn't really care much for what other people were saying, and I know other people were talking about it. And it's funny because I was the type of person who would really care about what people thought about me up until this happened. And literally with like the flick of a switch, I just couldn't care less anymore what people thought and what people would say about this, about my situation and my relationship, which was really like surprising to me, because up until then I always really cared about what I'd say and what I'd do and what people would think, you know. So I think it's gotten better now. I don't think I was fully aware of all of the attention and information that was being spread about queer relationships and queer people. And I think once I came out, obviously the algorithm fed me a lot more information than I was previously consuming. And it's just made it a lot easier, because I suddenly started following all these influencers that, you know, are out and in relationships, and watching, I was paying more attention to films that followed queer storylines and series, and I lost interest in shows that no longer had queer characters in them. And it was just suddenly like this like light bulb went off in my head, and I was more selective of what I consume. And that helped me, because suddenly I was watching a lot and listening to a lot of things and hearing people's stories, and it just made it all seems so easy and normal very quickly. And I didn't have that big struggle, you know. I think it also stems from the fact that I suspected that about myself before Chiara. I had another two instances where I fell for other girls. Not that anything happened, but obviously things go off in your head and you start to wonder, and I just swept them under the rug and pretended it never happened, you know, and you just think it's a phase and nothing, you know. So when Chiara came along, and then it was like the third time, I'm like, okay, I need to do something about it. But I had never spoken to anyone about this beforehand. I never, because I didn't give it that importance, you know, but suddenly I had to. So I think that's why I was just so ready to talk about it so quickly, because I said, okay, this is the third time now. I just need to tell everybody, because otherwise I'm just going to keep, you know, this will pass and I'll forget about it and it will happen again. And I just keep going around in this cycle. So I just felt it was the right time. And
I think we must have felt also that it was worth it. Like, both of us were in situations where like we were trying to push it away, you know?
Mm. At the same time, I think even if the relationship with Chiara didn't develop, I still needed to talk to people about it. So I had to like share that with my family. I had to share it with my friends, because I just needed to talk about it, because I had never opened up to anyone before.
So you guys this summer are going to be in a production called Teatro Tal Miskin, which is representative of the LGBT community. Can you tell me a little bit about it, Chiara?
Of course I can, Diane.
Go ahead.
So I have the honour of being in this production, because I really say honour, because Luke Zaidan is just a rare species of genius. He has written this, he's come up with the concept, written it, and written the music for it, so...
So this is a musical?
It's a musical. It's basically a queer musical. And Denise Van Holland is on directing, so of course everybody knows how that's going to turn out. Brilliant. And we have Ruth Borge on movement. So he's really... And then he's put so many other people, including Emma McAuliffe. So many brilliant, brilliant minds in this production, that it's for sure, I have real faith that it's going to do really, really well. But the story is basically... the story takes place in Hallfern. Okay, which is a village that is kind of what we'd call sort of what would seem to be backwards, kind of stuck in time. Nobody goes in, nobody goes out. No scandly, no, every, you know, the church is the most important. The bell rings, everybody comes out of the house, goes to church. The bus doesn't pass from there. And then one fine day, who we call buffy, not clowns in the typical circus sense, but we're more like rebels with a cause, you know, arrive and start to challenge and poke, and it takes place in the past and the present. And the present is where we're dealing with the people of Hallfern, and we're speaking to them and challenging them, and we meet lots of different characters. At the same time, the past, we're narrating a story of a boy called Bobby from Hallfern, who grew up in Hallfern, and how he one day, as he was watching women getting ready in bathrooms and stuff, he decided to try on a pair of pink heels. And he walked through the village wearing these pink heels. And this uproar of how this village, that, you know, that everything should be as is, and what's, you know, the
such a challenge to the norm.
It was just like, and it very much deals with, you know, perception and tolerance and hate crime and all of that comes into it. So such a poignant story, you know. So I really can't wait to see how it's received
And it's going to be in Maltese or
yes,
in English?
All Maltese.
All in Maltese.
Absolutely. Oh, Luke speaks Maltese as a first language. Chiara Hisler is the only one in the cast who doesn't speak Maltese as a first language, but it's been such a wonderful learning curve on so many aspects. Just these stories need to be told, you know what I mean? And it's so lovely to have this representation in the theatre world. And it has moments of really lots of ups and downs. Eh? There's moments where we can laugh together and we can be like fun and sort of mocking and teasing and stuff. And then there are some really heartbreaking scenes. And at the end of the day, there's a takeaway message from it all and lots of questions being raised that we hope that people will go away and discuss.
That's amazing. And I think it's really telling that we have a localized version of this representation because, yes, there are films, yes, there are TV shows, yes, there are plays about the LGBT community in other spaces and places, but having something that's local with the quirks of Maltese culture and seeing those little things that you would relate to that you wouldn't find anywhere else and seeing them on stage and being them reflected back at you.
It's part of the raising awareness campaign, you know. Yesterday I watched a National Theatre Live play with Jodie Comer. And it was about sexual assault and from the perspective of lawyers, you know. And it just, of course, you always have a certain knowledge on sexual assault and what it is and stuff, but how it opens your mind, you know, to the situation and stuff. And this is why we have theatre. This is exactly why we have theatre. For this reason, everybody in there was like forced to take it in. And in theatre, whether you like it or not, you're sitting there for an hour and a half and we are going to flood you with questions and issues and you're going to take it all in.
There's no pause button there.
There's no pause button. I mean, you can get up and you can walk out, but let's be honest, you know. So that is why theatre is so, so good at forwarding and continuing, fighting the fight, you know, and putting it forward in a way that's entertaining. I just think it's a fantastic, very brave move from Mr. Luke Seydon and the team. And I'm just so, so happy to be part of it, really.
And what's unique about this production as well is it's not just the production that we're working on. There's an entire program built around it. So we have a program, Talmiskin, L'Skola, Talmiskin, L'Steer, Talmiskin, where we are working with young people, so through Agency Azaza and through ARC. First of all, we've had consultation meetings with young people from Malta and Gozo who've shared their stories, not just young people, actually, people of all ages who've shared their stories about coming out throughout different eras in Malta and how different that has been for everyone. And we're just also gathering stories of people nowadays and the struggles they're facing, particularly in Gozo, where the queer scene there is very different to how it is in Malta. And before speaking to these people, I really underestimated that. It's completely different. It's still very closed off and a very close community that still find it very hard to integrate with the rest of their society, basically, which is like what Malta was like a few years back. So we're working with people to gather their stories, to make this piece as truthful as possible. And this all happened before the script was even up on its feet. And we're also gathering stories from people in the community, and their stories are going to be displayed outside the performance spaces. So once you come out of a performance like that, you can actually read people's stories and things that have actually happened to them and prejudice and injustices they faced, also obviously coupled with happy stories as well. So it's you know, linking what you watch in a production to the real world. You know, we've done a lot of work to make sure it's as truthful as possible. We're also working with Agency Azaza to create youth workshops. So they will come in with the directors and the production team and have workshops centered around the production. So then once they watch it, you know, they've got all that information already stored in their heads from this workshop. So it's, you know, it's linking. It's not just a performance. It's not just the production. That is actually one of five segments of this entire program. So also what Luke has created here is something quite amazing because there's like longevity and it's going to be spoken about far beyond that hour and a half that, you know, that you're sitting in the theater watching it.
Thanks for listening to More Than Friends. Be sure to like, follow, and subscribe on your platform of choice to get notified about our next episode. If you or someone you know is struggling with their sexuality, there's help out there. ARC, Richmond Foundation, and MGRM offer support services for people of all ages.